Blog Talk Radio.
You brought too many.
afternoon. Show number 888. That's it if you're counting in the Caribbean. Welcome as you get ready to sit down and get down with an abbreviated version of the Stir Fry here at Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis, singer, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good stuff, the who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, Radio Reggie down in Richmond, Virginia, Ricky Hampton in Detroit, and Pat Freeman, the Mighty O'Bob based in Buffalo, doing his thing 1 to 2 every Saturday with the number one sports show in the nation on WUFO 1080 AM The Mix and 96.5 Power FM. And, of course, a big shout-out to our colleague Anthony Johnson, who graced us with an hour plus of time in stating his platform for his ascension into becoming the representative for the 180th District in Philadelphia, Juniata Park, and Feltonville. Those who may not know are now privy, probably courtesy to mainstream media, to know that in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there was another shooting in synagogue. Apparently, I believe the count is 10 people are injured, 4 are definite, 4 are dead. And I believe the count now is 10 injured and 8 otherwise unaccounted for. 3 policemen were injured, shot, and they have captured one of a possible group of people who attacked the synagogue. Now, for everybody who missed out on the 2016 election for whatever reason, because we've been steadfast in reminding everybody to vote as this election may be a turning point election, not just for our democracy, but for democracies around the world, and how countries look at and also in what folks can get away with. Because we are seeing some dick dastardly shit unfold in front of us. And this is another example of that. You know, Saturday being the holy day and folks in the synagogue having Shabbat service were interrupted by a man, at least one, came in, started shooting the place up. Some managed to make for cover, and the police came, eventually apprehended him, but to my knowledge, as of right now, I don't know if they've apprehended others. And we know this isn't the first time this sort of thing has happened. We also know that churches, predominantly black churches, were either hit with some sort of vandalism, fire, or what we know of what happened in the Dylann Roof situation in South Carolina when he goes in and shoots the place up. And they give him a whopper for his time in trouble after he is apprehended. But there was always a couple of things with that I think connect with this that a lot of people haven't thought about putting two and two together on. Now, I will say in the Charleston situation, we've said this on the radio show a couple of times, there was a woman who followed Dylann Roof and was able to help assist in getting him tracked down, found, and caught. You know, the whole whopper thing, as Gary Norris Gray is in the mix, is a whole other story. But the question that I had hanging there, Gary, is the same one then that I have now. Is my belief that Roof was just one of several Manchurian-style candidates who were out programmed, if you will, to do this dick dastardly stuff. And after he got caught, whatever plans they might have had were put to sleep, because the idea was he wasn't supposed to get caught. He was supposed to slip away. And because he's a kid, nobody would,
put two and two together. I know you may have heard of what happened in Pittsburgh. Gee, what's your vibe on all this?
This is responsibility of people of leadership, right? When you're a leader, you're supposed to lead by example. And this move, the last year and a half, has stoked the flame of misery and deceit and dishonesty, and now it's all going home to roost. Whatever, you can't talk BS and then they're going to go away. Now, what we have now, midterm elections are 2 weeks away, folks. You don't need this support. You have candidates in Florida, in Georgia, Native American in Idaho. All these things are adding up.
Yeah.
All right. And you cannot continue to do this.
Well, the question next, Gary, do you think this is going to be a continuing pattern up until Election Day?
Yes. This is what bullies do.
Uh-huh.
Bullies keep pushing you in the mouth until you push back.
That's right.
America has refused to push back. I'm waiting for that counter button. And when that counter button comes, look out. I'm telling you, look out.
Yeah. But look at how things have been ratcheted up in this situation. First, it was the Charlottesville, very nice people.
Yes.
Troublemaking on both sides, and then we move from there to just a few days ago when he says he's nationalist. Now, nationalist has never been used like that before. Now, we know what Nazis are, or we believe we know what Nazis are, but the same nationalist, like we knew there were black nationalists back in the day when we were growing up. This is a whole different vibe what he's labeling as nationalist. So because of this, you know, people are sitting on tenterhooks waiting for the next shoe to drop. I'm sure their synagogue didn't expect it to happen the way it happened, not that anybody ever knows. But now we got a whole lot of other stuff in play. And I made the statement years ago that the Crusades never ended. And here we're going to have further escalation as something else will go on underneath it. Because if we've known anything from this regime right now, that they'll do some shit to gain 15 seconds of attention and then do the real dirt underneath it all.
Well, spreading
all this crap, G. Where I want to know next is what's going to happen next. Significantly, that people aren't paying attention to because the media won't talk about it and it's under the radar unless we're looking for stuff.
Okay, what happened this week with the bombs? America, if you're not paying attention, it's shame on you. This bomber, out there for one reason only. It scared the hell out of you. That's what he was out there for, right?
Right.
And he did his job because what happens is last night at the basketball game.
Yep.
In New York City, the New York Knicks were playing the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr has been a vocal opponent of the 45.
Right.
Steve Kerr said last night, and Steve Kerr is a very cerebral person. He said last night, I fear for my life. I fear See, now we're getting to the point where they're trying to silence the masses. And when you do that, it's a very dangerous road you're taking.
Yeah.
When you begin to silence the masses, it's just like in Germany. And everything this fool's done in Washington is exactly the same thing it did in Germany.
Listen, that's not a joke. Well, I've stated on here a couple of times that I was living in Germany during the unification for a while. I mean, a couple of days that passed after the wall was torn down and everybody was supposed to be happy they were free and all this shit. The bill was coming due because those people living in East Germany had no money. DDR money was like toilet paper, essentially. They were the country bumpkins when it came to technology.
Yeah.
You know, and being called the Eastie was actually an insult. And, of course, because they were getting a lot of their funding off of Russia, they didn't really have much to stand on after everything cleared up. So the Austrians came in. Austrians always starting shit. The Austrians came in and started the whole issue about foreigners that were there, Ausländer, outsiders coming in, taking their jobs. Yes. And all of that led to conflict in Germany for at least 2-3 years post reunification. And it's even set in place now situations where if you're not a white person in certain parts of Germany, you simply refuse or very rarely are traveling to. In the eastern part of the country, there are Africans and Turks who live there who are very specific in saying, even now, don't get comfortable traveling at dark, you know, especially by yourself, because of the same prevailing attitudes that have led us to this madness here in the synagogue.
Yep.
There is a consistent pattern in this. But in the midst of trying to create voter suppression in states in the country that before were enforced against such things by the Voting Rights Act, you have all this on the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Jews, even though they have been through what they have been through, can often get relaxed with the notion of thinking that, okay, things are going to be all right because we don't have it that bad. Well, when it's your turn in the barrel, everybody has it bad. And I know now a lot of Jewish groups are going to be even more concerned about what's going on because they know indirectly or directly where the source of all this vitriol is coming from. And here's where mutual interests are starting to run parallel. Because they know black folks catching hell too, because we always have. But now, in the midst of all of this, as we get closer and closer to elections, what will be the next thing to happen? Because you know another shoe will drop.
Oh, yeah.
It happened before or after the election, I can't say. But we know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. And my thing now is are Americans ready? See, America has been sleepwalking for the past 10 years. They've been sleepwalking. Now, after the bombing, after the synagogue, Dylan Roof, Charleston, now, what more? Okay, the question to be asked now, what more do you need to see? And see, the media. Now, this is where it gets evil. This is where it still gets evil. The media has been, like you said, bought and paid for.
Right.
And when you're bought and paid for, you can't do certain things.
Exactly.
What happens is, you know what's happening in the country, and you can't say anything because you've been bought and paid for. Therefore, like what happened this morning or last night in Pittsburgh, you knew it was going to happen, but you couldn't say anything because why? Because you paid your dues.
Yeah. And that's what makes me feel bad.
Now you're trapped. Now you are trapped. You can't do anything because you're a conduit.
Well, I don't think it's so much trapped there as it is you have to sit and wait to see what's going to happen because you don't know what's going to happen. Or at least you want to pretend that you don't know when this is going to happen. Because if this is coordinated as we're hypothesizing, then it's a whole different issue when the next one hits. Because if we flip back to the Dylann Roof incident, you know, he got caught. And he really didn't reveal it. And for the record, he really hasn't revealed anything. He was supposed to be able to get away. And I'm likening this, and this is just my speculation, I'm likening this to back in the drug days when they started to hire younger people, move the drugs, because at the time they wouldn't stop minors. You know, and it had a temporary effect, but it was effective because, again, they were looking at kids, and they weren't looking at the kids in the same way they were looking at the hardcore street dealers until that idea eventually caught up. So I'm saying if Roof was one of a group of Manchurian candidates who were programmed to do some dirt or to signal, that may be something that we're going to see either before or after this election. You know, he got caught. But he wasn't supposed to get caught. He was supposed to get away. No one was supposed to know. Remember, what that woman did was random stuff. Had she not done what she had done, and for all intents and purposes, she's just a regular citizen, she was a hero. She saved lives, not just in the after effects of what happened in that church, but preventing new situations where Roof might have been utilized again to go into a church and just shoot people up. So she saved lives right on point. We may never know her name, but she's a hero. And the media surely didn't betray her as one. If anything, the media tried to downplay it and try to say it was the efforts of law enforcement that was responsible for getting this guy Roof, which I don't really mind because that keeps that woman somewhat anonymous, and I'm grateful for that because that keeps her safe as well.
There's the Koch brothers, all the minions at the top are in a panic mode. Why are they in a panic mode? Because people like the guy in Florida, the young man in Florida, the young black guy in Florida.
Yep.
The young woman in Georgia.
Miss Abrams, yes.
The young lady in Iowa. What are the Midwest states?
I think it's Idaho. Mm-hmm.
So, all these people have greater intelligence. They run circles around Republican candidates. Why do they do that? Because they're going with issues that people are related to.
Mm-hmm.
They're panicking because Republicans are not bringing any issues to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is, what can we do to derail this? Well, it's called diversion. It's in the goddamn of diversion.
Yeah.
And the diversion of why? Because remember a week ago in Saudi Arabia, journalists get killed in Saudi Arabia.
Sure.
Why did he get killed? Because he was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go. Now, if you're a journalist, if you're a reporter, if you're a journalist, I'm scared as hell.
Uh-huh.
If they get that to him, here's what they can do to you too.
Yeah, that's true. And being aware of this because the closer we get to this election, we know we've heard of issues that haven't spoken of violence, but have a deleterious effect because we know they were done to do damage. And, of course, the voter suppression that you've just spoken about is a great part of that. They realize, when I say they, I'm referring to everybody who sides with the mindset of Dope 45 and people like him. They realize that this midterm election is going to be a choking point. There's going to be a lot of issues that are going to make for folks to go to the polls this year. When I did my vote show yesterday, I was sitting down just doing some research between the mixers and finding out that off of Instagram links, almost 500,000 people registered to vote. And that's just Instagram. I'm sure from Facebook and other social media outlets, there have been outreach efforts to fill up the rolls as many as folks as possible and also remind them of their options as if you are refused an opportunity to vote at a polling place for whatever reason, that there is a form that you can grab for that you can fill out so that you can vote and it upholds your legal right to do so. I believe it's called a provisional vote. I have to double check that. But the bottom line in all of it is that it's not an accident that all this is happening with less than 2 weeks before we go to polls and the possibility of the so-called blue wave that the mainstream media is throwing around. I take that with a grain of salt because remember, those same polls said that there was no way Trump was going to win this election. It was going to be a wipeout, blah, 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 and all that. And we found out that polls lie. And polls lie because people lie. And they did not have any kind of panacea for this. This was clearly being outmaneuvered by the big dastardlies of the Republican Party, D.I.G.
Number one, for everybody, it's a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm.
You can request a provisional ballot anytime, anywhere, when you get to the vote, you can request one, and then mail it in a week. Number two, the blue wave is an invisible force.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Republicans are doing what they're doing, and they know two facts. They are twice as many Democrats as they are Republicans. I repeat it again. There are twice as many registered Democrats as they are Republicans.
That's
why they're panicking.
In every
election in 1960, Democrats outweigh Republicans over 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Republicans win is those Democrats do not go to the polls to vote. That's why they win.
Yeah, that is true. We know there's been some attempted manipulation of the Electoral College, but what you hear on is exactly it. Their asses will vote. And that is a direct cause. When we sit back and talk about this, let's remember something. Because it was rumored that the final count, Hillary won the election by popular vote. Well, obviously, popular vote don't mean shit. This is what Bush was referring to when he said, just because you get all the votes don't mean you win. And the manipulation of the Electoral College was exactly what they were doing. It was a chess game. All the time we have been on the air here, we always talk about how these big bastards of the Republican Party seem to always be playing chess while the Democrats are playing checkers. And this is part of the result of all of that. Now, obviously this is not a federal election, but this is important in that it may change the balance of power in the House and in the Senate. Now, I don't know how many Senate seats will be lost when most of these senators go back to a total hun in their approach to what they believe in. So I don't know how the Senate will be affected. I do believe the House will be affected because the Democrats may gain control of the House. But now that we found love, what are we going to do with it? Once they get this G, will they do what they need to do in enforcing or at least leveraging a situation where we can get back to some semblance of what would be considered normalcy in a democracy?
And this is the thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to hold those people accountable. If we elected the office, you have
mm-hmm.
to be accountable for what you do. And see, this is where we go off the tracks.
Right.
They get elected, and then I can do whatever I want to do. No.
Mm-hmm.
If people elected you to do a job, if you don't do a job, you're handed out.
Yeah.
Until we do that as a people, let your elected officials be accountable for what you do, then it will change. Until then, it's not much
gain. You mentioned the Koch brothers earlier, and you know that the Koch brothers have been flexing for a long time, and this is even before Dope 45 came on the scene. But I want to throw this into the pot. Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, and probably has more money than God, has been hedging. No, really, has been hedging regarding running for the presidency.
Yes.
Now, some folks have been trying to push him to do so, and some trying to put the brakes on what he's doing, because once you are outside of New York, the map of the country in terms of ethnic groups changes drastically. And I'm saying this because we are where we are in what has happened to these so-called alt-right national Nazis, whatever the fuck you want to call them. The bottom line is this. As much money as Bloomberg has, as much influence as he has, I mean, fuck, he owns a media company. You know, it means nothing on the national map, because Michael Bloomberg knows if he runs for president, he will not succeed. Not because we don't want him to win, not because he may have solutions that will be beneficial to all Americans. Michael Bloomberg's a Jew. And that will not play across a national board. I'm born and raised in New York. I can tell you this for a fact. Gary's not far from New York, and I'm sure he can make an argument as well.
Mm.
In a Jewish-influenced area like New York City,
that
may work. That shit will not work across country. I can tell you that. There are too many anti-Semitic groups.
Mm.
There are too many anti-Semitic notions. And what their approach would be politically.
Well, this is what Dog 45 has done too. He has brought all the lunatics out in the open now. So now you can see who these clowns are.
That's why
Bloomberg knows this. And leave it. I don't think he's going to run.
Well,
he knows the climate.
Oh, no, Gary, I agree with you. But I'm saying, I say this because Bloomberg had hinted on running on at least a couple of occasions. And I'm sure, knowing that he owns a media company, he has done diligent research and testing the waters to see if it's feasible.
Yeah.
And everything is probably telling him, hell no, don't even try.
No.
Because they know that everything west of New York and maybe a couple of places east, that shit ain't going to work. That may not play in the Midwest. It definitely may not play down south. And even out west, a more moderate area might pick up on it, but a conservative area, like some parts of California, they're not buying it.
He's sitting
literally in limbo as all of this is going on. And, of course, the terrorism is not going to stop. The efforts to do so, that won't stop. And they're going to be wondering what the fuck will happen next. This is the thing that's akin to what was always talked about when someone stated that when they came for someone else, I didn't give a fuck. And then they came for somebody else, and then, you know, it didn't bother me. But when they came for my ass, I was like, why me? No, we know what time it is.
Yep.
History really does repeat itself, and it really wasn't that long ago, G, that the Ku Klux Klan was out in force, you know, in states like Indiana and thereabouts, and they were parading. I mean, they were flashing their colors, literally, you know, like some offbeat street biker gang.
Wait. I was at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Carbondale, Illinois is in the southern part of Illinois.
Okay.
I'm going to class across campus.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the day, I see 40 Ku Klux Klan members in complete robes.
Right.
Walking down the street of Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is 1975.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So here we are, 2018, and nothing ever changed.
No, that's exactly right. Nothing has changed. Time has moved slower in some parts of the country than it has in others. And that is why Bloomberg and his aspirations are somewhat tied in a knot. He may think he'd make a good president. You know, he might be a good president. He may well be a good public servant. When he was mayor of New York, he did some wacky shit. And I don't mean wacky in terms of funny. But see, running a city and running a country are two different things.
Yeah,
and what
yeah.
might play in one corner of the world, that shit ain't going to sit when you lay the whole map out. And that's exactly what may be exasperating to Bloomberg, that he really can't wield any kind of real clout in this environment, not just because of Dope 45, but because of those who are backing him and for those white supremacy groups who they try to give this pretty name alt-right, like all of some sort of offbeat shit.
Mm-hmm.
They've been giving them the belief that they can now be who what they are. They can take those sheets off, Gary, and they can flex because, well, you know, we're white and proud and no, we're not racist. You know,
yep.
we love our culture, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever excuses need to be made for all that. It still comes under the banner of terrorism. Those bombs to those people that you just mentioned earlier in the show, that shit came from terrorism. They're trying to scare people. You know, obviously the Obamas don't open up their mail like everybody else every day, but knowing that you're receiving a package that'll have a pipe bomb that will explode with projectiles coming all over the place and whatnot with the aim of trying to injure or maim you, even if the bomb didn't go off, the fear factor that we're talking about is what this is about. It's terrorism. It's no different an act of terrorism as the fucking local police when they rolled up on a 11-year-old kid and handcuffed him for no reason and got him so upset that the kid pissed down his leg and nobody did anything to correct it. And the police were afterwards like, yeah, you know, well, you know, we're sorry. And then like, wink, wink, you know, like they deliberately terrorized that kid. And I don't know if anybody's going to follow up that kid with any kind of psychological help or aftercare. Because he's traumatized for a good while. I don't know when it will happen, but the bottom line is they deliberately went after that kid to break him, and we got Tony McClain in the house. Good, Chief. I mean, I'll go ahead. I'll talk. Gary.
Yes.
The same thing with these women. Barbecue Becky and
all those ladies.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you follow the law correctly, they should be in jail. Why? Because they made false reports.
That's right.
And one single media brought that put up. Nobody would have put up. All these ladies, Gail, and Dugger, Dugger Mom, Dugger Dad, right. All these ladies.
Sure.
That need to be fined or jailed. And neither one. And they all got away with what they did. All of them.
They're basically doing the job for the police because the thing you have to understand here in context, this is no different from the woman who accused Scottsboro Boys of rape. This is no different from Emmett Till being killed because of a lie. This is no different from the Rosewood riots being started because of a lie by a white woman, and so on and so forth. You know, it's and what gets me is that you still, you know, we're so quick to jump on everyone else's cause but our own. You know, you saw now where these Me Too women want to, quote unquote, take a knee now. Well, I'd like to kick them in their damn knee because the movement itself, you know, it didn't, you know, when a black woman started it, it was, you know, it was treated as a surface nuisance. But the minute these liberal and Republican women got on it. And please, I don't want even, you know, anybody that comes to me with it being a Republican thing or a Democratic thing, I'm going to kick you in both. I'm going to kick you in your elephant ass and I'm going to kick you in your donkey ass because there's no difference. There's absolutely no difference. It's still about terrorizing black men. And the ultimate slap is when Time Magazine does a cover story on the Me Too movement. It's all white women and Oprah, and not the woman who started it. You know, full disclosure, I didn't read the article, but I'm willing to bet you that they didn't even reference the woman who started it, who has now come out and said that the movement has now gotten, it's now basically a terrorist group now.
Yeah.
But see, back in the 70s, this is where I lose my mind, okay? Trulyism.
For
president, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
from Bella Abzug, nothing from Gloria Steinem, nothing from any of these folks.
Right.
But see, again, and matter of fact, if you ever want to watch a great biography, go rent out Unbought and Unbossed, and it goes through what Ms. Shirley went through during that 72 campaign. And, you know, whether it's Shirley Chisholm or Anita Hill, where were the feminists during all of this? Now, they made sure that her and Gloria Allred got Bill Cosby in prison, but when Roman Polanski can basically roam the country, when Harvey Weinstein can do whatever, everything's okay.
He can fuck his babysitter, all that. That's right.
Exactly. And you know, it's so funny. All this, you know, you already got people saying, well, Megyn Kelly didn't do anything to be fired. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. She should have gotten her ass whooped on national TV, but that's okay. I think the funny thing here, funny ironic, mind you, not funny, ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Megyn Kelly is a lawyer. So you can imagine how some of these lawyers, I mean, you know, we're all worried about the judges and everything, but think about these lawyers who are supposed to be helping these folks and how they're, you know, taking, how they may possibly be taken. I mean, they're no worse than some of these public defenders that you know are not there for you to just basically try to draw a salary. You know, we all heard that famous, you know, there's a skit, one of the many skits that Rich did back in the day, and when he talks about going through what he did, and even having his damn lawyer say, "I write you some samples," you know, and how many young brothers and older brothers have had to deal with something like that, even when they know they're in the right, you know?
It's true. And when you think about the bigger picture, let's consider that regarding Megyn Kelly. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went full guns on her ass. I was glad he did it. But it was another reminder to me why they never really wanted Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to succeed. And I'm not talking about him as the basketball player. I'm talking about him fulfilling his own career goals because Kareem wanted to coach. They wouldn't let him coach. And I mean that. They wouldn't let him. I mean, he eventually did it on lower levels, but they were going to give him a break to be a head coach because we don't want to forget, Kareem's Muslim. Kareem's Muslim in a sports entertainment business that's driven by Jewish interests. And the long and short of that is that he was never going to get the shot that he deserved. And we know that Kareem has probably forgotten more basketball than any of us will ever know, and that he has an established role and is justifiably an expert in his field of expertise. But that is not enough, and it has never been enough when it comes to black people, because regardless of whether you're Tony McClain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, there will always be that one word. But.
We're not talking about Bertha Butt, Bathsheba Butt, or anything like that. It's that other
exactly.
Butt that
that's out. Right.
So, by the way, Mike,
right.
I would have called sooner, but I just got up after staying up all night watching that freaking World Series game. So.
Oh, my God, yes.
I'm laying in bed, right? It's 9:30, quarter to 10, I'm laying in bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went to sleep and wake up to get it on.
Oh, yeah. I had an Islanders Capitals moment last night. You all remember that overtime game there.
Five overtimes,
Years ago. I dozed off for about 5 minutes and I thought, oh shit, I missed the game. No, they were just in the friggin' 13th when I woke up. So okay.
So what was the final score and how long did the game play out?
The Dodgers won 3-2. This was the longest World Series game in time and in innings. In fact, the longest postseason game ever as well. Broke a lot of records. But what was kind of funny to me was that, you know, I was shocked that the majority of the crowd in L.A. hung out, because you know they're notorious for breaking out in the, you know, seventh, eighth inning.
That's
so they
true.
Can beat the traffic.
Yes.
Well, put it this way. There might be some people that might be just getting home now.
Well, since y'all brought it up.
Guys, think about this. I believe, I believe this game doesn't go 7 games. I think Mr. Roberts lost his job. I think he lost his job.
You know what? It depends on how they lose. This way, I think the fact that they've gone to the series 2 years in a row has helped.
Mm-hmm.
Is gonna save him some whatever. Because see, you know, Mattingly, when he was there, he couldn't even get out of his own way. And see, that's the thing. They've gotten to the World Series twice, and basically, even though. He managed his way out of a win last night, and they were able to still get it. They still have a chance to win. I mean, basically, last night, or should I say this morning, was their last was basically their last stand. So at least now they're gonna get 3 games in LA. You know, but it depends on how they lose, if they do lose. So, I mean, let's face it. Cora basically used every pitcher last night.
So either
Smokey Joe Wood or Roger Clemens is going to have to start for the Red Sox tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I give it to Cora for trying to put someone with a knockout punch, but it may come back. And see, Eovaldi pitched, I think, like, what, 6 innings? So he can't come back with him. I mean, he could conceivably, but, I haven't heard who they're going to start as of today, but, you know, it's going to be, you know, this way. I wouldn't be surprised if we get like a 10-9, 8-7 sort of game tonight because because again the Dodgers the Dodgers definitely needed to sort of stay alive, but you know,
I like that.
Are the Red Sox going to be able to have enough pitching to hang up because everybody pitched last night?
Have you noticed that? I watched the last 3 broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
One single network has said that the two minority managers, they have their word about that.
They've literally and figuratively have danced around it. But you know, let's put it this way: they're probably saying it in another way with their criticisms of the move. Now as much as I hate to say this, you know, why they took out Buehler when he was pitching, you know, the game of his life last night, and I mean I like you know Hanley, but he's been shaky, and I would have at least let the kid start the top of the inning. I mean I just don't get this whole not let the guy. What are you going to do to earn the chance to start the inning? You know, because you know. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I appreciate where you were going because this is part of that analytics shit, and I use analytics emphasizing anal because that's exactly where it's going. You know, it's like. You don't have the human element of somebody being able to go mano a mano against a player. You know, understanding the matchups, understanding who can do what. They've got everything figured out, but they've done so. They've sanitized the game. You know, they don't know enough about the history to know that, say, maybe Yasiel Puig had an issue with one of the Red Sox pitchers about something they did to him. And when they did it, they upset him, so he ended up striking out the remaining two times he was at bat. Now, what does Puig do? You know, that human element has been changed. It's like not even considered now because somebody's putting it on the analytics.
And Mike, you know, even watching baseball growing up, I still go back and forth with that whole lefty righty sort of thing. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
When Darryl Strawberry first came up with the Mets, Davey Johnson would always sit him when he's going up against a quote unquote tough lefty, you know.
Right.
And it used to make me angry because it's like, look, you know, how the hell do you expect him to get better hitting against lefties if you're going to sit him down when he hits against lefties? So one year, I think it was 89, they finally was like, okay, we'll play him against tough lefties. And he set a record for most home runs by a left-handed pitcher, by a left-handed batter versus a left-handed pitcher. So it's like, you see, I'm sorry, I'm screaming. But it's just, look, baseball in and of itself, you know, they love the numbers. You know, this guy hits 300 against pitchers on days that lend him the letter Y. And you just say, And I get it. I understand that. But there's trends, and then, like you said, there's the human element of it. And again, it's just micromanaging. You know, there was a great article a couple weeks ago in regards to, I think it was someone from the Daily News who wrote about Dusty Baker. And, you know, they were going through all the myths of why he's never been considered a great manager. You know, they always talk about, you know, how he killed the Cubs and how he killed the Giants and how he killed the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
But with the exception, you know, Dusty still has like over 1,500 or so wins. He's been to World Series he's won division title. Look,
yeah.
Cincinnati is still trying to figure out their shit from Dusty was there. And see, Dusty is one of those guys, and I've been full disclosure, I've had a chance to interview him over the years. Dusty was one of them analytics guys. Dusty's one of these guys that manages on his gut. And one of the main reasons why you don't see Dusty in baseball anymore is because it's being taken over by the fucking nerds. Now, look,
I get it.
I have a hell of a lot more respect for Theo Epstein than I will ever have for Billy Beane. And I don't have to have a Theo Epstein movie with Judge Reinhold playing him in the lead part to let me understand. Because see, even with your analytics, even with whatever, the one thing Theo Epstein did, and he did it with the Cubs, and he definitely did it with the Red Sox, yeah, he went into the analytics. But the main thing is he changed the culture. But the thing was, when he went to the Red Sox, he put an emphasis on pitching. When he went to the Cubs, he went with an emphasis on pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. They already
had
Pedro. But he went out and got Schilling. And, you know, whether you like his politics or whatever, that's another two-hour conversation in and of itself. The fact that they went out and got him and always made sure he had a reliever. Look, the Red Sox have won and lost more world. The Red Sox have probably lost more games because of the pesky pole and because of
Green
Monster more than they've won. Now they finally, you know, they've been lucky enough to put together teams that play to the park as opposed to what have you,
and
you know, now the one thing that hasn't changed is their fans are still a bunch of whining sons of bitches. But that's another two three hour conversation. But the thing is, at the end of the day, Theo Epstein has the hardware. Billy Beane has the movie, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, because even with this year's A's, as great of a story as it was, what have you,
What did they do? Well, we're gonna start our opener for the biggest playoff game of the year.
Exactly. Let's remember this. You know, one thing we have to say about Dusty Baker that probably drives the baseball insiders nuts. See, Dusty has the wins in the bank. And if there's going to be a black manager that gets in the Hall of Fame, it'll be Dusty. Now, Cito Gaston has won two back-to-back with Toronto, but they're never going to give Cito credit for that. I can tell you this because in Canada, when Cito was finishing, having won the second series title, they were complaining about how he would use the same players every day. I just consider some asshole, I don't know if it was the Globe and Mail or the Star, whatever, had the nerve to bring up the fact that he's overusing his players. That was the excuse. So he won two titles, but he was overusing his players. I'm like, are y'all on a crack or some shit?
Now, mind you,
Mike, Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, Ron Say, and Bill Russell basically spent more time with themselves than they did with their fucking family, but were able to get to the World Series during that time.
You never heard
Lasorda saying, well, he uses those guys way too much. Never heard that.
Exactly. Never attacking for something like that. But see, Dusty, because he's won so many games, and this is not an accumulation from years managing. I mean, you'll always be able to buy
he wanted
just. Yes.
He's one of the worst.
You know, he wouldn't have been so in demand in so many places if he wasn't results driven. Dusty Baker won games. Dusty Baker got to the playoffs, even got to the World Series. And why they didn't do it there, what they could have done, that's a separate two-drink conversation as well. But the bottom line in all of this is that Dusty Baker belongs in the Hall of Fame, and he will catch hell politically because of the very things we're talking about. And meanwhile, the guy who has the rings, who has been going about his business very quietly, he's enjoyed his life, you know, post-baseball, they will never call Cito up. They will never give Cito that nod. And Cito's no radical, you know. He doesn't call for the bombing of the country or Black Lives Matter or anything to give even a scintilla of issue that he may have something burning inside him aside from the fact that he thinks he got screwed by baseball. No, Cito's cool. And that's exactly what's going to cost him because they will not give Cito the respect. They almost make it sound like, and I'm talking from the Canadian side of things, even though there were some who lauded Cito, they made it sound like it was some sort of fluke, like he won these championships by accident.
Back to back.
And that's
back to back.
Yeah, back to back. And we can count on maybe two hands. How many managers in any sport have done it back to back? But that's a separate subject. I want you guys to consider this. Good, Tony. Finish point.
Well, no, we're just saying the only ones that have won back to back in that era since then has been Torrey under the Yankees. That's it.
That's other than the evil empire. That's it. But I want you to consider this because we brought up Cito and being in Canada. We saw something interesting a couple of days ago. It was the cover of NHL 2019, I think EA Sports was putting it out. And on the cover was one Pernell Carl Subban. PK is on the cover of a video game. And I'm like, yeah, right on, PK. But what was intriguing about this was that PK had to do this as a member of the Nashville Predators. The Montreal Canadiens, in spite of everything that PK has done, would not give him his just due up there. But the cover also recognizes something that we've been talking about here for a long time, that while NHL's product has been significantly better over the last 3 or 4 years, especially in postseason. You know, they have been a piss-poor component to trying to promote the game in the States. You're not going to have a problem promoting it in Canada. You know, any Canadian kid who's looking at this, who plays video games, is going to look at that and say, oh, okay, cool, PK's on the cover. And they're going to buy the game regardless. They would buy the game if, you know, Max Pacioretty or kid from Edmonton, if any of those were on the cover, it wouldn't matter. It's hockey. That's it. We're getting it. This is the new shit. But it was significant seeing PK on the cover because the NHL has to realize that not only do they need to promote in the States, they need to promote all their stars in the States. And PK has done more to promote the game below the border than any other athlete has done.
Exactly. And see, like you said, it's like these jazz musicians from back in the day where they had to, you know, leave the country before they got
mm-hmm.
their due. You know, Charlie Parker and Diz and Miles Davis, they all had to leave the country before they could get their due here in their own country. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
and you see it even more so now. The NBA players get more love overseas than they do right here. Matter of fact, most of your foreign players, every last one of them, they pattern their game after a former NBA star. Ain't no guys in Greece or Turkey or Spain or what have you
mm-hmm.
that's going to be able to ball
yep.
like the brothers here. But you know how it is. They gotta whatever. You know, see, they're so busy blaming LeBron for everything that happens in the NBA that they basically missed the point in regards to how, okay, you want these foreign players, but see, guess who the foreign players pattern their games after? The guys here.
Come on.
But
exactly.
Guys, I actually have to run, but I just wanted to give this quick note. It's gotten crazy already today in HBCU football. Bowie State was losing
at one point
today. Yeah, Bowie, mm-hmm. Bowie State's up now, but Winston-Salem's getting a shutout. Howard is down 14-0, and even Delaware State, winless Delaware State, is leading Central. So I'm gonna get back in front of my thing here and watch some of these games because it could be a real crazy mess before the day is over. And maybe if I have enough time, I might, you know, peek in on World Series game 4.5 today.
I appreciate 4.5. I appreciate that, my brother. Thank you for the update. Thank you for the update.
Take care.
We can speak to you later. See you tomorrow. Tony McLean, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of the ASN Newsroom and the Black Athlete Sports Network. So what do you think, G?
I think this is going to be a very interesting weekend all across the board because in the NCAA, there's 3 or 4 games that could change the whole concept. Michael, let me say this. I don't care what Notre Dame does. If those moves
mm-hmm.
get into the Final Four, I hope they lose 100-0.
You want that total ass whipping. I don't blame you because I have never been a Notre Dame fan, especially after that incident where 5 black players got on the court from Notre Dame and their own home fans started booing them. So you know, that shows you how open-minded the so-called Irish really are. But having said that, we know that the politics is going to become more and more evident in more sports and more athletes are going to eventually speak up on it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be this. How can I say, distraction from everyday life. Athletes are going to become more vocal, and there's going to be a bigger overall effect on it. Now, they still can take pride in the NFL that they'll fill those stadiums up But they won't be as filled if their current posture by the right-wing owners makes it seem as if these players are doing something illegal by kneeling in respect and understanding the black men and women who have been victims of police violence, which is what this shit was about all along. What they're really mad at Colin Kaepernick for was the fact that when Kaepernick took the knee, all the other shit opened up about how the NFL were paying money, or rather we as taxpayers were paying money to the NFL for doing these outlandish pregame moments, and how all of that money was affecting other things. That path that everyone on the road and nobody really wanted to go down. And because of that, ultimately, we had this huge backflack where everybody was pointing in the direction except where it should have been. Hey, you know, Jeff Flake and John McCain set aside $50 million in a line item for specifically putting out taxpayer monies for pregame celebrations. Some of that never would have been found out without Kaepernick kneeling. And that's really what they're mad about. He opened the door to all of that shit. Now, you notice ESPN didn't report it. Fox didn't report it. We did. And there were others like us who did. You know, we weren't the only ones, but we made it clear. It's like, y'all late. This is what's up. And now that we are sitting in this quagmire beyond it, where should we give Kaep a job? Should we not give Kaep a job? And Eric Reed and Malcolm Jenkins just about coming to blows because Eric Reed told them straight up, you're a traitor. You know, you flim-flammed everybody. You know, what's it?
And well,
in football.
Again, what the media will do now is use these two gentlemen for their own purpose. That's why, we have to be very careful when we go, when we argue with other African Americans.
Sure.
Because the white media will play it the way they want to.
But see, it doesn't even become an African American issue. This is about facts. Facts kill bullshit. And when the facts came out, nobody said shit. Damaris Smith is still Ralph Ellison. He is like the most invisible of invisible men. Exactly. We don't know where the fuck he is. It's easier to find Waldo and Carmen San Diego than it is to find Damaris Smith. But we know why. Because he's a paper tiger. He's the head of a union that has really no clout. The last thing that the players did as a union in the National Football League that had any significance is when they told him they weren't going to go to Arizona because Evan Meekham, the then governor, would not recognize Martin Luther King's birthday. And they moved everything real quick to the Rose Bowl, and then $300 million in revenue later, Evan Meekham was like, free at last, motherfucker, I'll sign that shit now. So we know why. We know their motives for doing the stuff that they do, but you know, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, the real truth won't reveal itself until later, after a lot of Sturm und Drang is done. We're going to cut it right there because we have an appointment and a special assignment today. So, Gary, give us a preview of the Cove and a shameless plug.
Well, we're going to talk about the dismantling of the Oakland Raiders, which continues to this day. Michael, I believe that Derek Carr, will put one more week left, and he won't be wearing black and silver anymore.
I heard that.
We were talking about the World Series and the difficulty of the Vegas Knights. They got Sophomore Blues. Difficult time scoring.
Yep.
And the Golden State Warriors go to Madison Garden that night.
All right. Sounds like a good lineup at the top of the hour. Guy, you know, it's Grand the Great Upper Cove. The call in line 646-727-3649. Golden State. And other good stuff to come. course, there will be no Music Box tomorrow evening, but there will be a Music Therapy Mind Stream with Rich. Mr. Cole will be co-hosting with Mr. McLean. So having said that, we have to get out and get into the wind. Our last licks before we go is what they have been for the last few days that we've been programming. You need to vote. Left wing, right wing, chicken wing, I don't give a fuck. You need to vote. You know, too many folks who were here before us, too many folks who raised us or are around us or are guiding us, many of them got their situations co-opted before they had a chance to vote, if at all. In some states, they were asking innocuous questions like, how many bubbles in a bar of soap as a means to decide whether or not you could pass a test and be registered to vote. Deliberate shit that was done, which was why the Voting Rights Act had to be initiated in 1965 to stop this madness, and specifically in states like Georgia, where you see madness going on now. I can't condone the 40 million folks that sat on their asses last year or 2016 that allowed this bullshit to be here in the first place. So all I can say is the only way you can get some get back is to get up off your ass, get to the polls, and vote. There's no big fall to all of that, no flashy slogans or anything like that. Whatever your ideology is, what you believe in, well, back it up at the ballot box. Go vote. Because if you don't vote, you have nothing to say, and you definitely clearly clueless because you don't know what's going on in this country as we are awash in the effect of a second coup in this country. If you're going to affect some change, you better do it while you still have the power to do so. Get to the ballot box and vote. We'll see you tomorrow night with the Music Therapy Mind Stream from a man Gary Norris Gray. Hugs to Pa Graham, Ma Gray, T-Mac. We out.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed. Being as young as I am, you know, we all don't want to say nothing else, so we stay as young as we are. Now, I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now, the educator, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross the other side of the pond call it vibe, vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is and what it is. What it is and what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother, you take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand, hey, I know what it means. Being 9 years old before I got my first pair of underwear out of a store. You know, putting on a half-pressed suit from the pawn shop with tennis shoes, trying to be hip. So I know where it's coming from. Like the fella say, having catfish head stew. And look like the catfish went in there with his head and come out very quick and didn't leave nothing else. Now, it's one thing the educators and the politicians and the establishment got to remember. Now, brothers need jobs. If you don't work, you can't eat. If you don't work, you can't eat. Get hip to yourself, good start, my brother, and get it from the street. Don't work, you can't eat. Sis, you don't work, Lord. You can't eat. So you got to have mind power to deal with starvation. And that's what we're dealing with.
You see, we can't go back to the biblical stories. Two loaves of bread, or two little fishes, five loaves of bread. Two little fishes, yeah, five loaves of bread. Now look here, too many brothers to go by that. Now I want your brothers to dig where we're coming from. Set your mind right here. Dig the JBE experience. I dug this from a young man out of New York. He said the GBE, the GBE, now we want to take it to the JBE, the JB experience. And Fred, brother, brother, lay it on me, lay it. Now back to the, and meanwhile back to the ranch. Let's talk about the things but that we deal with each and every day. Now horns, now horns. Let's tell everybody what it is and what it is. 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 You can't change it. Don't try to change it. Be with it. Don't fool.
Hey, when are you going to throw a little light on this play?
This is not quite a standard operation. He runs as tight as you are.
You mean is that each of us knows only his own job?
Put it in any words you like.
Well, the company must be running a couple other teams. Are we number one?
Two teams only. And there's a good chance that you'll see action. Maybe before Thanksgiving.
How soon will we find out what the options are?
The probabilities for success are almost 100%.
And like the Bay of Pigs.
Now, look, you're a high-risk man. You're on contract. Your men are all experienced in black operations. You take your chances and you get paid for it, and damn well.
Okay, Jim.
I'll tell you this much. I've never seen a better cover plan in all my life. Every man jack of you will be out of the country within 36 hours. New passports, new identities. Plus $25,000 each just for spending money.
I like that. Tell me more.
You'll stay out of the country for 2 years. You'll receive $25,000 a year via Switzerland for the next 5 years.
All of us?
I said every man jack involved in the operation. And 5 years from now, on January 2nd, 1968, provided no one has broken security, each man will find $100,000 in his own personally numbered Swiss bank account.
Jesus. You just told me who we're gonna hit.
This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds.
Okay.
It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal, and that the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. My fellow Americans, this is a problem which faces us all, in every city of the North as well as the South. Today, there are Negroes unemployed 2 or 3 times as many compared to whites. Inadequate education, moving into the large cities, unable to find work, denied the equal rights. We cannot say to 10% of the population that you can't have that right. Your children can't have the chance to develop whatever talents they have. That the only way that they're going to get their rights is to go in the street and demonstrate. I think we owe them and we owe ourselves a better country than that.
The computer threw out 14 possible goats, or sponsors as we like to call them. A young man named Lee Harvey Oswald seems the best. Born New Orleans, 1939. Father dead. Mother remarried and divorced. Boy was placed in an orphanage for a while, then shunted about with his mother till he was 17. You can start now, Tim. He has a remarkably muddled political record that could be steered strongly to the left.
On October 24, 1956, 7 days after his 17th birthday, Subject enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. Attended Aviation Fundamental School at Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida, studying basic radar theory, map reading, and air traffic control procedures. Began studying Russian language and taking pro-communist attitudes. Fellow Marines called him Oswaldovich and Rusky.
In the Marine Corps? Not a chance. I'm preparing a cover for him.
Naval intelligence?
Either that or CIA.
Go ahead, Tim.
Arrived in Yokosuka, Japan aboard the Bexar for assignment at Atsugi, 20 miles west of Tokyo.
And that's where we monitored the U-2s over China.
And a lot of other stuff.
Court-martialed on June 27 for pouring a drink over a non-commissioned officer's head and use of insulting language. Confined 28 days at hard labor.
Only 28 days? They're not only giving him a cover, they're fixing him a phony.
On August 17, 1959,
he requested a dependency discharge on the ground that his mother required his support. Discharge was granted September 11.
Well, that was easy.
Easier than you think.
Watch this. To get the discharge, he needed a doctor's affidavit. Otolaryngologist Marvin Danvers gave one, saying he started treating Oswald's mother on September 5. Even though his letter is dated September 3.
I'll be goddamned.
On the same day, September 4, Oswald applied for and received a passport. Quote, in order to attend Albert Schweitzer College. Unquote. Passport granted. Good for European travel, including USSR. Arrived in Moscow October 16. Ordered to leave USSR by 8 p.m. October 21.
The Ruskies weren't buying.
Slashed his wrist same day. Taken to Botkinskaya Hospital. Released a week later. Visited U.S. Embassy on October 31. Stated his determination to revoke American citizenship and turn classified data over to the Russians. Can find no record that Embassy tried to dissuade him from handing over classified material.
How much did he actually have?
Location of all bases on the West Coast, radio frequencies for all squadrons, all tactical call signs, strength of squadrons, number and type of aircraft in each, names of commanding officers, and the authentic code for entering and exiting the ADIZ radio and radar ranges.
Jeez.
On January 4, 1960, Oswald receives permission to remain in the USSR for 1 year.
They're beginning to buy.
On January 5, he is given 5,000 rubles and assigned to work at the Belorussian radio and television factory in Minsk.
They've bought.
In 1961, he writes a series of letters to the embassy concerning possible return to the United States.
When was Power shot down in that U-2?
May 1, 1960. He was there all right. But I'm not sure there was any connection. They've been spotting our U-2s for a long time. Thanks, Jim. I'll take it from here.
Right, Mr. Farrington.
On March 17th, he met a young lady, a graduate pharmacist. 6 weeks later, they were married. As a result of Oswald's letters, the State Department informed Embassy that for security reasons, Oswald should be given a passport. There was a long wrangle with the Russians about exit visas for his wife, but everything on our side was as smooth as silk. The Embassy issued a passport. They lent him $435 in traveling expenses. And he passed through immigration June 13th, 1962, en route to Fort Worth.
Did anyone meet them in immigration?
A representative of the Concerned Traveler Society named Ralph P. Waterford to help them through customs, or so he said.
That name familiar?
There's a Ralph P. Waterford known in Taiwan as the Secretary General for the World Campaign Against Communism, Inc.
Now, who would have sent him?
God knows. You get into that area, there's so many little double and triple headers that you can't count them all. Tim? All the intelligence agencies have files on him. He was interviewed twice last year by the FBI that we know of. And there's a report out that the State Attorney General and the Dallas District Attorney I've got him labeled as FBI informant number S-172.
He could be. Defecting, coming back, running into no trouble at all. He could be anything. CIA, Office of Naval Intelligence, anything. Lowest possible echelon, of course. A few dollars here, a few there. Possibly a little doubling.
Listen. On January 27th of this year, he bought a mail-order Smith & Wesson 38 under a phony name. And in March, he bought a mail-order 6.5-millimeter Mannlicher Carcano rifle. In May, he was distributing Fair Play for Cuba literature in Dallas.
Can we rely on a character like this?
We're not relying on him. We're using him. I've got someone placed very close to him.
Get a little air.
Go ahead. I want to check the stock market, of course.
real problem is this, James. In 2 decades, there will be 7 billion human beings on this planet. Most of them brown, yellow, or black. All of them hungry. All of them determined to love. They'll swarm out of their breeding grounds into Europe and North America. Hence Vietnam. An all-out effort there will give us control of South Asia for decades to come. And with proper planning, we can reduce the population to 550 million by the end of the century. I know. I've seen the data.
We sound rather like gods reading the Doomsday Book, don't we?
Well, someone has to do it. Not only will the nations affected be better off, but the techniques developed there can be used to reduce our own excess population. Blacks, Puerto Ricans, Mexican Americans, poverty-prone whites, and so forth.